We're currently faced with a crisis in Christianity, a life and death struggle between orthodoxy and heresy, between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults.
The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The prosperity gospel, it's nothing short of a wholesale transformation of Christianity. It's the glory of the cross supplanted by the glory of consumerism. It's a fast food Christianity. It's long in looks, but it is dreadfully short on substance.
You can meet and hear Hank Hanegraaff at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org. Don't miss the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for this blessing us on this afternoon and blessing us with this amazing horse.
It's always creeping up in almost every historical era, in different iterations, this idea that bodily material world is not as valuable or as divine as the spiritual world.
Gentlemen, open up your mouths and sing. It is a manly thing to sing. This is the church going to war, and you may sing as the army of Christ.
But I would rather have my eyes plucked out. I'd rather be imprisoned rather than deny this. Jesus lives, and he's the only God. And I'd rather die a martyr than be thought well of by a tolerant world and go to hell.
Farmers in South Dakota, listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
Well, you're seeing his name everywhere. I was actually at my daughter's house the other day, and I saw his book sitting there thinking, what is Jordan Peterson's book doing in my daughter's house? Turns out she had ordered the book. She was interested in reading it. You see his face all over the place. And I take it he's something of a controversial figure. I will be quite honest with you. I have not read anything about him. I have kept aside of the controversy surrounding Jordan Peterson. I take it he is some kind of, well, some consider him a guru. Some consider him a disruptive influence in society. Christians seem to find some things to like about him, although he can be rather critical of Christianity as well. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 10th of May. We're going to be talking about media coverage of Jordan Peterson. Terry Mattingly will be our guest for the first half hour of the program. After that, Dr. Andrew Walker, Director of Policy Studies at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, will join us. He's written recently about the Boy Scouts admitting girls into their ranks. He says this was inevitable. We find out why when we talk with him. Professor Tom Egger will join us from Concordia Seminary. The subject we'll turn to with him in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. is God's Growing Family. Then Pastor Ted Geese joins us. We're going to talk about a theme that runs through all of those many successful Marvel movies, the latest of which is the blockbusting Infinity War Part 1, the Avengers movie. A theme that runs through all of them, and very strongly through that latest, is fatherhood. We'll discuss that with Pastor Ted Geese in the last half hour of the program. Joining us to talk about media coverage of Jordan Peterson, Terry Mattingly. He's a regular guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
Why is Jordan Peterson so suddenly burst upon the public scene so controversial?
Well, your introduction kind of makes me want to welcome you back to planet Earth. I mean, did you enjoy your vacation?
Yes, I think the reason that I've avoided reading about Jordan Peterson is that everyone's writing about him, and I don't need another controversy in my life. What is so divisive about the guy?
It's really interesting. I hear from people multiple times a week asking me when I'm going to write about this guy. And I'll admit, I've been looking for a hook, but at the same time, you'd like to interview the man, and that's just, I mean, let's just say his dance card is extremely full right now. I think there are a number of reasons why he's so controversial. What's more intriguing to me, We'll get to those, I promise. What's more intriguing to me is why so many conservative Christians and culturally conservative people are so taken by him. And I don't know how else to say this except Jordan Peterson is the anti-Trump. He's intellectual, he's logical, he's extremely controlled, yet he's making the politically correct police in some ways just as mad as Trump. So all of these cultural conservatives who are out there hurting and alone and feeling abandoned because they're stranded in the Trump era, along comes this guy that the left seems to hate almost as much as they hate Trump. And they start listening to him, and there's a logic to what he's doing. That he's really into linear thought. And at the same time, he's clearly a secular marketplace level intellectual. And you know, if you know anything about the history of Christian publishing and all that, you know that Christians, especially evangelicals, and a lot of conservative Christians, are constantly basically being called stupid by the world. And every once in a while, it's nice to have some brilliant, you know, professor from the University of Toronto's clinical psychology department saying things that you may not agree with everything he says, but boy, you agree with a lot of them. And it's one of those, the friend, what's the old statement? The enemy of my enemy is a friend of mine. Is that the right statement?
I think that's it.
So when you see this guy getting bashed by BBC and the Washington Post columnists and everywhere he shows up on cable news, it's like a highly competitive situation, except, you know, I don't know if he's been on Fox yet or not. I don't watch Fox enough to know. But he's definitely an enemy of political correctness. I think that's part of it. And that's primarily because he has come out, been one of the leaders in Canada against the whole idea that there should be a change in the nation's laws about speech, that you have to call someone, you have to identify someone by whatever pronoun they choose, which in effect is compelled speech. And that's a really big deal in Canada, which doesn't have, you know, First Amendment laws as strong as we have. But gender is a really huge issue down here. So he's making a lot of news about hot topics. But within all that is one overarching reality. He gets millions and millions of hits on YouTube and the internet. He is an emerging digital media phenomenon precisely at the moment that all of our mainstream media are trying to figure out how to conquer digital media. So there's a financial side to this as well. Everybody want to know how this guy put lightning in a bottle when it looks like he's another boring professor walking around on a stage without note cards speaking about highly complex subjects for 2 hours at a time. Now, does that strike you as an internet phenomenon?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. Maybe we can come at it this direction. Why do the media have a hard time covering him?
Well, this guy is not about sound bites. Now, there are moments in some of his interviews, most notoriously, the infamous moment, let's see, was it BBC? Oh, yeah, British broadcaster Kathy Newman. There was this interview in which they were talking about gender pay. And the main thing is Peterson is going to insist that you quote him accurately. So the minute he says something, and then the Newman interview was a perfect example of this, she came back with, "So what you're really saying is this," and would crank it up into something controversial, he would say, "No, That isn't what I said at all. And then he will repeat his point of view precisely all over again. And you can goad him again, and he's going to refuse. He's not going to move off that spot of the point he's trying to make. And it's interesting television for people with long attention spans, I guess, which once again, when you say internet phenomenon, long attention spans is not the next phrase you think of, right?
Do we know anything about his views of religion?
Oh, we know it. We know a ton about them, primarily because he talks about it all the time. He's done a lengthy series of videos. And when we're talking about a Peterson video, we're not talking about a packaged 20-minute presentation on YouTube. This guy, a short Peterson talk is an hour and a half. I mean, he's just warming up. He may not get off point one in the first hour when he gets going in one of his appearances. He talks about religion a lot. Now, he insists that as a teenager, he abandoned organized religion. Now, the word organized there is crucial once you start listening to people who pay attention to the man on religion. And he, you know, he constantly quotes Nietzsche, Dostoevsky, Solzhenitsyn, and his big hero is Jung. He quotes Jung a lot. He's really into mythic archetypes. But here's what's really strange. You and I in the past have talked a lot about my admiration for the sociologist James Davison Hunter at the University of Virginia, and particularly the impact on me of his book, Culture Wars, The Struggle to Define America. And in that book, he says, most public debates about religion used to be between Catholics, Jews, Protestants, Evangelicals, Pentecostals, and you had this horizontal strata of debate when it was time to argue about anything. In the 80s, he began to realize that what we were seeing in America is that the primary religious divide is no longer horizontal between religious traditions. It's vertical, a line cutting through all of these traditions. And what the divide is defined by the nature of truth itself. On one side are the camp of the progressives, in his mind, his term, and the camp of the progressives might believe a lot of different things, but they are united by the fact that truth is personal, experiential, and evolving. They don't have a literal version of truth. Now, on the other side of that line is the camp of the Orthodox. And the camp of the Orthodox, with a small o, are people who may disagree with each other. An Orthodox Jew will not agree with a Southern Baptist, for example, on the nature of Jesus Christ. But they are united by their belief that truth is ultimately transcendent, revealed, and absolute. That there are things that are just plain true. And whereas the progressives might say, you have your truth and I have my truth, and we should just, you know, leave it at that. The camp of the Orthodox says, no, on a lot of things, there are truths that are embedded in the universe, in creation by its creator. Now, of course, in Catholic thought, immediately you think of natural law, you think of creation theology with the Orthodox and whatever else. Peterson is supposedly a secularist of a kind, or he's not an easily labeled religious person. Yet Peterson really, really believes that there are things that are true. And there are behaviors that are bad. And there are behaviors that are good. And he's made his reputation on one of the hottest subjects behind the scenes of modern life, which is, what in the world is going on with our men? What is going on with boys and young males and men who just can't seem to get their act together? So here comes this guy with his 12 rules for life, an anecdote for chaos. And he'll start off with these mundane statements like, clean your room, or stand up straight. And then he'll interpret those out into incredibly complex levels of philosophy and mythology, and interpret these things as absolute rules for life that the modern world doesn't want to concede exists. So when you combine the fact that he's extremely popular with a lot of males, young males, internet males, YouTube males, that everybody else wants to know how you get these guys, what some people call failed sons, you want to know how to get these people to listen to you. And here is this guy from Toronto delivering two-hour lectures, telling them what they're doing wrong, and they're buying his book, and there's 9 millions of them that show up whenever his YouTube channel posts anything. Now, doesn't that strike you as a fascinating and strange combination of factors?
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Jordan Peterson. Terry is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. When we come back, is Jordan Peterson, is he attracting so much attention because he is such an outlier in academia and among intellectuals with that pesky belief in true things? Is he an antidote to a culture that is accustomed itself to getting all its wisdom from 5-minute TED Talks? We'll be right back.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Give your mom the gift of a clean home for Mother's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. Gift certificates can be purchased for as little as $75 for a partial clean. Go to gifts.thecleaningauthority.com, enter your contact information, and choose the amount. Give the gift of time for your mom with a Mother's Day gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. Gifts.thecleaningauthority.com. Gifts.thecleaningauthority.com.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us Ad Crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC RUCEM.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Jordan Peterson and he is the media phenomenon as well. I want to inquire about a couple of those things. Terry, first of all, do you think that Jordan Peterson's media success may be a bit of a reaction to people, well, as I said, our culture that has kind of been breastfed on 5-minute TED Talks?
Yeah, that's part of it. And never forget that people like having a chance to quote someone with academic respectability. That's a part of it as well. I'm intrigued by the Christians who look at him and instantly want to turn him into the next C.S. Lewis. In other words, the next great intellectual, except of course in C.S. Lewis you have someone from an atheistic background who then converts to Christianity, which then gets you into the endless discussions on the internet right now about whether or not Peterson is some kind of closet secret Christian. Oh, and trust me, people can go for hours on that topic. He is rather articulate on, like I said, on subjects related to religion. Rod Dreher has a piece on Peterson up today, in which someone sent him a clip from a Peterson interview where Peterson is asked point blank, what do you think of Eastern Orthodox Christianity? And his answer is intriguing, and not just to the Orthodox. His answer is, well, he sees a division in how the West, both Protestant and Catholic, approaches faith primarily as a series of intellectual propositions. And you accept these intellectual propositions as true, and that makes you a Christian. It's essentially an assent of the will in your head. He said Orthodox Christianity instead sees faith primarily as adopting a way of life that gets right down into what you eat, what you don't eat, when you fast, how much you pray, and as he put it, you're supposed to pick up your cross and climb up that hill. It's going to be hard. Suffering will be involved. Life is full of pain. You ultimately are dealing with the reality of death. But do it. This is what it's all about. Face the reality. Now, that's an interesting and controversial way of dividing the East and the West, but it certainly is not an inarticulate one. I guess for a lot of people, it ultimately comes down to, is this man C.S. Lewis, or is he the next William F. Buckley?
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, at this point, the issue becomes, is he essentially a political man? And he insists over and over and over that he is not. In fact, in a recent Washington Post piece, the one that I critiqued, Peterson, they even link Peterson to the alt-right. I mean, that the alt-right likes a couple of things he said, I guess about gender or whatever, and thus he's popular with the alt-right, or he's identified with the alt-right. Yet there's another passage in that Washington Post piece. Let me read this, because I think it's crucial for readers to hear this. Women can join the parade. He believes his lecture audiences are about 40% female, but his attention is on guys. If men are pushed too hard to feminize, he writes, they will become more and more interested in harsh, fascist political ideology. He argues that, quote, the populist groundswell of support for Donald Trump in the U.S. is part of that same process, unquote. Now, does that sound like a pro-Trump guy? Or is he saying that a lot of guys have been pushed to feminize and they've been turned off and to some degree they've gotten mad and that's going to make them more interested in simple political answers to everything and that's part of what gets you Trump? That to me doesn't sound like a guy that's really fond of Trump, of his methodology and of what he symbolizes culturally. Yet, once again, that you're back to my original point, I really think there are a lot of cultural conservatives who are listening to this guy as relief from Trump, as kind of a doorway out of everything having to be the shouting matches that are going on in our public square right now. Here comes this guy, this Canadian, you know, in his wool blend tweed suit, doing bookish lectures, and it seems like a kind of relief. And he's espousing and embracing a lot of values that they share. Strength, honor, a code of behavior that seems logical and positive and, frankly, tough, manly even. You could see how this would go over with a lot of people who, meanwhile, are tired of endless Twitter debates and shouting matches. You really got to watch this guy's style. Even when he's confronted, like in the Newman interview in England, you've got to see how he handles pressure to understand why so many people are intrigued by his brand, so to speak, you know, in the digital world.
So you mentioned Trump, and I imagine that the American press, that's probably at the top of their question list when they get a chance to interview him or inquire as to his views, some variation on what do you think of Trump's America or what do you think of the election of Donald Trump?
He's really not interested in that because he's trying frantically to not be politicized. Yet at the same time, he's being discussed as a cultural pundit. And I can't stress too much how no matter what you do to this guy, he pulls it back to a discussion of human behavior, honor, and culture. And that's why I would say he's appealing to cultural conservatives, whereas the media defines everything right now in strictly political definitions. I mean, right now, to my amazement and frankly disgust, Trump is defined as a political conservative, the leader of political conservatism. Yet when you look at Trump and what he stands for and the life he has led and the way he communicates and the way he treats even people that are very close to him, is Trump someone that you would expect cultural conservatives to appreciate or embrace? And the answer is no, which is why the fact that so many old school evangelicals continue to cling to him and defend him is so controversial. He doesn't act like a respectable cultural conservative. Then along comes this guy from Canada who does. Even if you don't like everything he says about myths and archetypes, he's interested in some of the same battles that you're interested in. And some of them are as close as your teenager's messy bedroom and your fears about your children's futures. Well, that's going to get you an audience.
One other question with respect to his media presence. Before he was everywhere, he was in the podcast underworld for a long time. That's no longer an underworld. It's simply, you know, the Joe Rogan Experience and things like that are two or three years ago were not household names, but now they are. He even has his own podcast now. And he's spending his time in that podcast interviewing fellow intellectuals on largely on psychological issues, I take it. To me, this seems to be another reason perhaps why the mainstream media don't get a guy like this, because he's decided to take a different route to reach people who are interested in what he has to say. We got about 2 minutes for your thoughts there.
Even when he produces a soundbite that they want, it's a soundbite about how he refuses to turn his life into soundbites. It's a very fascinating phenomena that someone is succeeding in digital media right now while breaking every conceivable rule of what we think the digital media world is about. It's like someone creating a video game for people who read books, have really long attention spans, and like classical music or something like that. What sense do you make out of what he's doing? And frankly, our media right now is just getting started even paying attention, and I hope they do a better job in the future.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Andrew Walker, director of the Policy Studies at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. We're going to be talking with him about the Boy Scouts' decision to admit girls into their ranks. Oddly, they're still going to segregate according to sex when they do their scouting activities, but girls are now welcome in the Boy Scouts. It comes with a name change, and Andrew Walker says this decision was inevitable. We'll find out why right after this.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Children are a human right. Children are a lifestyle choice. Children are angels. Children are a nuisance. There are not enough children to sustain the economy. There are too many children to sustain the planet. Need some clarity amidst all the shouting? Check out the May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. Hear from moms and dads, pastors and teachers about what it really means to receive and value the gift of children in our lives. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During May, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more at lutheranfcu.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, lutheranfcu.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.